Welcome to 716 Together, a Western New York audio town hall presentation of Cumulus Media Buffalo, designed to inform, inspire, and empower our community on issues that affect us all.
Welcome to 716 Together. I'm your host, Tammy Lee Demler. Joining me today, Mark DePalma, who is the Director of Marketing and Communications for Forest Lawn. It's been a ton of time since we talked last, Mark, but I'm so happy to know that you guys are up and running. I know that with COVID, things made, you know, it changed everything for everybody, but there were some things that you had to take a pause on that you kind of reactivated and you're moving forward. So what would you want the community to know, since this is kind of our first after COVID conversation that we've had?
Yes. Well, thank you. First, thanks for having me on. And I appreciate the time and the opportunity to chat with the listeners in this way. And yeah, Forest Lawn, you know, obviously everyone knows the name. Forest Lawn is the, you know, Western New York's historic cemetery. And obviously that side of what we do, the cemetery operation, you know, is up and running and fared well during COVID. I mean, we took a lot of precautions to make sure that people were safe, and those who were, you know, burying their loved ones during that, you know, horrible time, you know, were well taken care of and protected. And so that side of the business has certainly been sort of moving along as it needs to. But as you said, you know, we have another. There's the other aspect of Forest Lawn is really sort of the cultural tourism destination that Forest Lawn is. And it's interesting because if you look on like TripAdvisor, for instance, you'll see that, you know, Forest Lawn is one of the most popular places for visitors to see in Buffalo, which is interesting because, you know, there's so much to do and see in Western New York. You'd think it was sort of odd that a cemetery would rank so highly on the list, but it does. And I think it's because, you know, there's really so much, no matter what your interest is, there's something for you at Forest Lawn, whether it's art, history, architecture, nature, you know, flora and fauna with the, you know, the deer and the geese and all the, you know, the wildlife that we have there. So it seems like, you know, Forest Lawn is a place, is sort of a common denominator for pretty much everybody at some level, right? So, but the things that, you know, during COVID we've historically had for really 25 years or so, a very robust tourism program, where we offer trolley tours and walking tours on a weekly basis during the summer months. And those usually kick off around mid-June and they end in October. In fact, our tour program for the season just ended last weekend. But, you know, we couldn't do any of that during COVID, right? So this summer was really the first summer that we were back in sort of full operating mode as it relates to tours, right? So trolley tours, walking tours. You know, and we saw a huge pent up demand because I think pretty much every trolley tour we offered sold out, which was nice. You know, and the walking tours as well. So it was great to be sort of back in the game as it relates to tourism. And then, you know, with the end of our tour season, the other thing that we couldn't do that had become really a really great holiday tradition here in Western New York is a theatrical production of It Was a Wonderful Life, which is, you know, was presented for years in our chapel, and we really had to shut that down as well during COVID. So we're bringing that back. In fact, we literally just posted the tickets on our website, forest-lawn.com, literally just yesterday. So those will have performances of that. You know, it's basically a two-hour, you know, theater experience where, you know, some of our famous permanent residents come back to tell stories and share songs and, you know, memories of Christmases past when they were on this side of the lawn as opposed to the side that they're on now. And that's always been a very popular program, and we consistently sell that out as well. So that'll be offered beginning on November 26th, which is that Saturday after Thanksgiving, I believe. It'll be presented every weekend through the new year. So check the website for tickets for that. So yeah, so just in general, you know, it's great to be back sort of offering those tourism experiences, that the theater experience that we will be offering for the holidays. You know, because Forest Lawn is, a lot of people don't know this, but they may not realize that Forest Lawn is a non-for-profit cemetery, right? So things like the tours, like the It Was a Wonderful Life show, is a great source of revenue for us to keep the operations humming. Because as you can imagine, you know, 269 acres of cemetery, pretty expensive to operate that. You know, the lawnmowers start running in April and they don't stop until November. That's a lot of grass to cut, lots of weeds to whack, lots of roads to keep paved and clear of snow during the winter. So it's an expensive proposition to run a cemetery. And as a nonprofit, those kinds of things are really important to making sure that we keep Forest Lawn looking and feeling the way people want it to look and feel.
Well, and if I could add, I think I'm probably one of your biggest fans for a number of reasons. I think I've always been I've been a Buffalonian for my, you know, I've never lived anywhere else, nor would I want to. And I just cherish and treasure the history that's here. And I think you guys just do such a great job in being able to present that in a way that's, I hate to say not morbid, but I mean, like, death is never a favorite subject, but we, you know, we all will be passing at some point. And we can celebrate the people who lived here. We're living here. We'll be part of history. And having been to that wonderful, it was a wonderful life. It's just beautiful. And it is historic, and you learn, and the music is beautiful, and the chapel is lovely. And I've mentioned to you, I've actually gotten that as Christmas gifts for many people in my family who they've loved it and have been so sad to, you know, to kind of have that pause with COVID with so many different things. But just that's just one of the many things that you guys offer in being able to not just generate funds, but to be able to share history. I mean, it's like nobody else but Forest Lawn has that history of having presidents buried there and people, you know, from all different walks of life, you know, being there. I mean, you have a lot of historic residents. I'll just say that.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. It really is. I mean, when you think about the city of Buffalo and its incredible history, you know, all of the, well, not all of them, but many, many of the people who made Buffalo what it ultimately became and still is, are interred at Forest Lawn. And, you know, inventors and politicians and, you know, incredible, you know, civil rights leaders and just, you know, folks from every walk of life. And there's, you know, there's 166,000 people who are interred at Forest Lawn, either in ground or above ground. And it's a big number. I mean, it's basically twice Highmark Stadium, I guess. Mm-hmm. And every one of those people has a story, you know, and a lot of those stories are only familiar to the people, you know, who knew those folks personally, right? But a lot of them, you know, many of them are, you know, familiar to lots of people locally, nationally, internationally, with, you know, some people who really changed this city, this country, and ultimately this world through their efforts, mm-hmm. through their invention, through their ingenuity. So it really is, when every time you walk through Forest Lawn and you, you know, you sort of stop and really appreciate, you see the names on some of those stones. It's like, wow, that's incredible that, you know, so much of that history really resides within those gates.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of that, in terms of sacrifice and history, I know that Veterans Day is coming up. We all like to be able to, you know, recognize and celebrate that day, to be able to honor the ones who have served our country and just have served us all. I know that you have veterans arrangements at Forest Lawn. Do you have anything going on that you'd want to talk about relative to 11/11 coming up very soon?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we have veterans from every war, every conflict that the United States has been involved in, from the Revolution right up to the present day. Veterans interred in the gates of Forest Lawn, which is pretty remarkable. And you're right. I mean, it is, you know, it's critical that we remember those sacrifices and that we honor those people, those men and women who really did, you know, give their all, whether they died in the course of a war or died after it. And on Veterans Day, the Erie County American Legion comes to Forest Lawn every Veterans Day and also every Memorial Day, and they have their annual ceremony, Veterans Day ceremony. So that'll take place again this year. And I think that was another thing that for a couple of years, at least during COVID, we really couldn't do that because of the social distancing ramifications, right? So, you know, our Veterans Day ceremony did come back this past year, and then of course it'll be back this year. And as I said, the American Legion, a great bunch of folks, they come out and do their annual ceremony. And it's really, it's great to see what happens because, you know, there are thousands and thousands of veterans who are interred in Forest Lawn, and it's remarkable to watch. The ceremony itself begins at 9:00, right? And of course, everyone's welcome, and it's free, and we encourage everyone to come out and honor our veterans that day. What happens about an hour and a half or 2 hours before the ceremony, though, is we get a bunch of volunteers who sort of descend on Forest Lawn, and from all walks of life. It's like Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and people who are just, you know, interested or have, you know, family members who are interred there, veterans who are interred there. They come and grab flags that we have in baskets, you know, along the roads of Forest Lawn, and they decorate the graves. And it really is remarkable to see. So what ends up happening then is, you know, once that decoration has been completed just before the ceremony, if you look down Main Street, the side of Forest Lawn that is across from Canisius College, that whole area is a veteran section. Mm. And it's just literally a sea of U.S. flags. And it's really remarkable how quickly it happens and how many people come out to help us with that. And those flags stay up, of course, for Veterans Day, and then they'll stay up for a few days after, and then the Legion makes arrangements to have people come back and grab them. But, you know, at that time of the year, Veterans Day, and then a Memorial Day, same thing. It's really a pretty breathtaking sight to drive down Main Street and see those.
It's amazing. And you were mentioning, again, this is like volunteers that help with these flags, or?
Exactly. Yeah. It's sort of a standing, I mean, it's interesting what happened. So, you know, it's been going on, both of those ceremonies, Veterans Day and Memorial Day ceremonies, have been going on for many, many years. And it's just become sort of an oral tradition. We don't even have to necessarily ask for help. It just arrives. And so, and people will call us, and people have been calling us in the weeks leading up to Veterans Day. We've already been getting calls from people saying, hey, you know, how can I help? What can I do? And we typically will tell them, look, if you can make it out maybe an hour or so before the ceremony, you know, like around 7:30 or 8, you know, we can always use help, you know, placing those flags. And inevitably what happens is, you know, people end up showing up and, they think that it's going to take forever and they're going to have to do a ton of work. And the fact is they grab a handful of flags, maybe a dozen flags, and they think they're going to have to go back for more. But before you know it, everyone's doing that. And there's so many people that it just, you know, within half an hour, all these thousands of graves are decorated. So it's pretty remarkable.
It is remarkable. And I think, you know, many of us want to do something, but we just don't know what it is that we can do to honor, the, you know, people that we didn't know, but who have changed our lives forever and preserving our democracy and our communities and our world. And I just think that's a really great thing. Now, people who might be listening to this, sometimes if they're driving and they're listening, they're thinking, oh my gosh, what did they say? Can they check online for that detail so that they can either help out or come and visit or, you know, observe for Veterans Day specifically?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we have on our, if you check out our website, which it's relatively new. I think the website as it exists, as you see it today, has been up for a little less than a year, I think. But if you go to the homepage on the website and you click on events, which is on the top row of the page, basically, it'll take you to sort of everything that's coming up and everything that's happening. And that'll be, you know, a combination of community events like Veterans Day. And then also, you know, it was a wonderful life, or during mm-hmm. tour season, we'll have all our tours listed. So that's definitely the place to go for, you know, kind of what's happening next at Forest Lawn. So.
More of 716 Together coming up in just a moment.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.
Welcome back to 716 Together, a weekly forum to inform, inspire, and empower Western New York.
I mentioned to you, I've heard a lot of advertisements from Forest Lawn or about green burials and sort of this, you know, environmentally responsible future of burial options. I guess, you know, we all have to think about this, but I've been intrigued by it. Can you talk to us about maybe a little bit more about what that means?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, so it's interesting to see how, you know, sort of cultural norms and societal norms are changing as it relates to burial. Like I'm not ancient. I mean, when I grew up, it was very traditional, right? So if somebody died, there was a wake, there was a funeral, and there was burial in a cemetery, right? And, you know, that person was in a casket, and that, you know, it was very sort of typical, right? Everybody kind of
followed. 3 days. There was a three-day wake.
Well, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, and I'm in my 50s. I mean, so it's that's not like it was that long ago.
Right.
But now it's changed so dramatically. Right. So and the two things that have changed it are the move toward cremation. And then also this what you're alluding to here, which is the sort of this greater sensitivity around all things environmental, right? So this concept of green burial. So, and we can certainly talk about cremation as well, but as it relates to green burial, the idea there is, you know, embalming and caskets and all those things, there's certainly some level of environmental impact on that stuff, right? So I think people who are particularly sensitive to that and are conscious of it, are more and more people are saying, well, geez, you know, isn't there a way that we can sort of lessen the environmental impact of death, right? And green burial it's not new. I mean, Forest Lawn's been doing it for decades, and it's that, you know, it's been happening around the country for a decade, but there's definitely renewed interest in it. And basically what happens is, you know, the individual who wants green burial is interred in the ground, but without, you know, a lot of the sort of traditional trappings of burial, right? So they're not in a big casket. They're in a biodegradable container, essentially, right? So, and they generally aren't being embalmed, right? Some people do, but, you know, generally they wouldn't be. So, and even to some extent, you know, the way the grave itself is prepared, I mean, you know, graves can be dug by hand, right? Which in some cases, you know, people are looking for that kind of thing, right? So there's different degrees of green burial. From literally, you know, an instance where someone has pretty much no mechanical intervention of any kind, to sort of a hybrid, which is kind of a little more what Forest Lawn does, because we wouldn't dig a green burial grave by hand, but, you know, we still use machinery to dig it, but everything else about that burial would be quote unquote green, right? So again, it's the kind of thing that we encourage folks who are thinking about those kind of arrangements, you know, talk to a funeral director, because it pretty much starts with a funeral director every time. That's one of the things that I, you know, before I started working with the team at Forest Lawn, I didn't really completely understand how it works, because you think, well, you know, if there's a death in the family, who do you call? Do you call a cemetery? Do you call a funeral director? Well, in New York State, you've got to call a funeral director, no matter what you want to do, whether it's cremation or burial, green burial, whatever it is. So lots of great funeral directors here in Western New York who can help. You contact them and you say, hey, I'm interested in green burial. They'll give you lots of information about how that works. And then you can decide, okay, well, what cemetery do you want to be buried in, whether it's Forest Lawn or you know, some other option. And that's pretty much how that takes place.
I think it's important to know those details. And Mark, I'm a person that likes to put off things that are uncomfortable to talk about. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh yeah, you know, we'll talk about that at another time. And then it gets to be that time. And then you're like, well, who do I call? You know, so that's helpful to know. I mean, in the midst of the grief and sadness, that you do need to have a logistical plan in place. And not to get too stuck in the weeds here with this conversation here, because I want to keep it kind of free flowing, because there are so many cool things to share. You know, it's important for people to have that information. And Forest Lawn, you know, it is really the center of all the history of Western New York. And when was your first resident actually buried there? I always love the story about kind of like how you guys were put outside of the city, like that was meant to be. Like, did Olmsted do your is it Olmsted, or I'm trying to think, was it who was the architect or the landscape? Olmsted, right?
We actually predated Olmsted, because the cemetery was laid out before Olmsted actually came to Western New York, right? So it's interesting, because I am by no means a cemetery historian, and there are people out there who are and are certainly more knowledgeable than I am, but as I understand it, you know, Forest Lawn got its start really as part of what was known at the time as sort of this rural cemetery movement, right, where, you know, where people were looking for a place of burial, of interment for their loved ones, but not necessarily within sort of the city limits, right? They looked outside the city. Now, it's interesting how the city has grown up around Forest Lawn, but initially, Forest Lawn was on the outskirts, right? It wasn't part of the city, right? So, you know, there was a vision for, you know, a rural cemetery, which is what Forest Lawn was at one time. And there's a few other examples of those kinds of cemeteries around the country that, you know, started back in the 1850s. Because the first burial in Forest Lawn was with a guy named John Lay, in 1856. And I think I think I heard this correctly. I think his wife paid like $3 or something like that to have him interred at Forest Lawn. Right. So, that was quite a while ago. And things have changed a lot, obviously, in terms of the economics of it. But yeah, he was our first permanent resident. In fact, he's the guy who, for the It Was a Wonderful Life show, he's basically the narrator, if you will. It's mm-hmm. John Lay, because he's the oldest resident we have.
That's so cool. Well, you know, we talked about tours. We talked about trolleys. And I know that the trolley tours, I've been on them. I love them. But you can also, can't you do your own like walkthrough? I'm sure that there's a way to be able to kind of track where people are and to be able to look for like is it the Blocher monument where the shoe and the angel? I mean, that's got such an interesting story.
Yeah, we have. So about, I guess it was about 5 or 6 years ago, we got a grant from the folks at M&T Bank, and we created a Forest Lawn app, and that is available on the website. And basically, you know, you can get that app on the web. You can go to the website to find it, or go on your phone to get it. And then basically, you can do a self-guided tour using the app, right? So it shows. I think there's about 80 different quote unquote tour stops, and they are generally, you know, our famous, you know, most famous permanent residents, and then also some monuments that maybe aren't necessarily associated with any particular person, but and you can literally listen to the narration of, you know, the story of each of those people or those monuments on the app itself. So you could totally take a self-guided tour. You could, you know, you could spend as much time or as little time as you want. The app actually gives you sort of turn-by-turn navigation too. So if you walked in the gates and said, hey, you know, I want to go to Millard Fillmore's grave, or I want to go to Rick James's grave, or I want to see where Mary Talbert's buried, all those folks are in the app. And you can just click on Billy Fillmore, and it'll show you how to get to that grave, his grave. And then there's a local actor who is basically, you know, reenacting Millard Fillmore, telling Millard's story from his point of view. And you can listen to that on your phone. So that's been a really popular thing for people who maybe they don't have time to take a guided tour, or maybe it doesn't line up with their schedule, and they can do that anywhere. You can do it on site, of course. You could also do it from home if you wanted to. You just take a virtual tour, essentially.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Which with COVID, I'm sure was the way most people were able to do that. Now, moving forward, everybody listening today can be part of history for the future. And I know that you've done a lot of work with digital memories and genealogy. And last time, I think probably 2 years ago when we touched base last time, you were really investing a lot of time and energy into that. Where are you all with that project?
Yeah, so we, I think, I'm pretty sure this is still the case, that we are the only cemetery in the country that has digitized all of our burial records, right? So, and you, again, as I mentioned earlier, there's 166,000 people who are buried at Forest Lawn. And all of the records associated with those burials are all digitized and are made available on our website. So if you go to the site, you'll see there's a sort of locate a loved one functionality, right? And you go in and type in, you know, a loved one's name, and if you happen to know their, you know, their date of death or their year of death, that's fine, but you don't necessarily have to know that. And you'll see what comes up. Then when you enter that search is a bunch of information. You know, if it's a name like John Smith, you're going to see lots of John Smiths. But if it's a more unique name, it'll obviously be fewer records. But, you know, click on the records that you're looking for, and you'll see that, you know, the documents that show, like, you know, when this person was buried, where they were buried. And some of these, again, like, they date back to the 1850s, right? So we took some of these books that were literally like incredible historic ledgers, handwritten ledgers, and we had them digitized, right? So if you look at some of the records, it's pretty remarkable to see. I mean, that just the calligraphy that and the time that went into, you know, documenting all of this. Because when you think about it, you know, documentation is absolutely critical for a cemetery, right? Because without that, you'll never know who's where, right? So we have to keep meticulous records, and Forest Lawn always has. And what's unique about Forest Lawn is that we've taken all those meticulous records and we've made them available to the public through our website. So it was a pretty time consuming process, pretty expensive process, but we do get a ton of feedback, and people who are doing genealogy research, you know, for their families, get lots of requests, and you know, we've tried to make it as self-serve as possible. And we do get lots of feedback from people saying, oh, you know, I was looking for this and I found it. That's great. Or other people who say, hey, you know, I was looking for this and I found that. But do you have anything else? And so we're certainly happy to help when we can. But that's been a huge initiative that we're pretty proud of.
Yeah, I knew you were working really hard on it. So you want to hear a secret?
Sure, absolutely.
So I'm a new puppy owner. And so I was very intrigued by what I saw on your website about a pet burial. It was never part of my world before, and I never really understood. But now I have a puppy, and I'm like, that might be something I'm interested in. So tell me about that. Is that new?
Yeah, well, it's relatively new. So New York State passed a law, I want to say it was about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe a little longer. A pet burial law, where you know, before that law was passed, you couldn't inter a pet at all in a quote unquote human cemetery, right? You had to go into a pet cemetery. right. Yes. Yeah. Exactly. But now, when that law was changed, and Forest Lawn actually worked pretty hard to get it changed, you know, now in New York State, it's the cemetery's option to allow it. It's not required. But if a cemetery chooses to allow it, they can allow pet burials, and Forest Lawn does, and some other cemeteries in Western New York have as well. But basically how it works is you can have your pets interred with you, but they have to be cremated domestic pets, right? So, you know, obviously dogs and cats and, you know, the classic domestic pets. I mean, there's some people who have really exotic pets, you know, and those aren't considered domestic. But any, you know, domestic pet that's cremated can go in a grave. And it's sort of incidental to the human burial, right? So you can't just buy a space for a pet only, but if a human is going to be buried in a grave and they want to have their pets buried with them, that's absolutely allowed because this law is in effect. So, you know, we do find that, you know, obviously pets are very important to people, and, you know, and they're members of the family. And, you know, there's definitely an interest in, you know, in making sure that if we're talking about a family staying together forever, that could and should include the pets.
Yeah.
And lots of people do that. So
that's so neat. And people need to know also that, you know, we're talking about a lot of history. We're talking a lot about updates and such. But to be able to just kind of stroll through the beautiful gardens, you guys do such a great job in keeping it, you know, beautiful. And, you know, anything that we can do in the community to keep you guys moving on track with success, we want to be able to do that. And from what I'm hearing, you know, it's supporting your events, it's being present, it's being supportive. Is there anything else in the last minute we have together, Mark, that you'd want to let anybody in the community know?
I mean, I think just in general, we're very appreciative of, you know, all the visitors who come to see us and all the people who have chosen Forest Lawn for their final resting place, their family's final resting place. And as you said, I mean, it's, you know, Forest Lawn is truly an asset to Western New York, and we take that responsibility very seriously. And certainly our responsibility to the people who rest within our gates, to their families, is first and foremost. But we do, you know, we do believe that, you know, making a visit to Forest Lawn a great experience for everyone, whether they come there to visit a loved one, whether they come there to walk or just relax, take some time. And it really is, you know, a place of refuge for people, you know, get outside of the sort of the traditional day-to-day to-do list, just take some time to yourself to walk, to ride a bike, to jog through there. So we welcome everyone, and we appreciate the support that we get from.
Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to talk with us today. And as we're going to end up getting you back on early in the beginning of the new year, just to make sure we stay on a regular touch base with you. But thank you again for everything and all that you do for the community. And again, a reminder to people listening in, you know, November 11th is coming up, a great time to be able to remember our veterans. And if you're a veteran, to be able to be part of what they do at Forest Lawn. So Mark, how about a telephone number, a website, one last touch base relative to finding more about you?
Yeah, I would say the best place to go is our website, which is www.forest-lawn.com. That's definitely the best place to find pretty much anything you need. And then, of course, we're always available by phone at 885-1600. Happy to help you in any way we can.
That's the best. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon. To all of you who tuned in, thank you. Take care. Be well. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to 716 Together. Listen for new shows on the air every Sunday morning at 6 and on-demand podcasts posted weekly. This has been a presentation of Cumulus Media Buffalo.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the Road to a Podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.